The light of guidance, the light of guidance, the light of guidance, the light of guidance, light of
guidance. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala khatamin nabiyyin, amma ba'd fa'audhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah, as-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Habiballah, as-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyyallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah, the Prophet of mankind, the peace of our hearts and mind, the most generous and kind, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is very beautifully reported to have said, the one who recites durood, salutation, salawat, salam, once upon me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers 10 mercies upon him. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Marhaba, khushamdeed, welcome to one and all to another beautiful and wonderful episode of the series known as The Light of Guidance. You are watching Madrin Channel English, and at the moment we are broadcasting this wonderful episode all the way from Johannesburg, South Africa. We make dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us always healthy and happy in every situation in which we are. Ameen, 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 ya Rabbal Alameen, mashallah. Today we will be discussing a very beautiful topic, and for those that have been watching us in the past, you do know that in these series we try and discuss those topics which are relevant to particularly to the Deen of Islam, and which are, I would say, relevant to the youngsters and the youth of today. Today, inshallah azza wa jal, our topic which we will try and tackle is, many people have doubts, or many people have this question in their mind, that they think that their intellect, their aql, their mentality, their ideology, all of this is above Islam and the rules of Islam, or the ahkam, the laws of Islam. And somehow they feel that maybe in some laws there's some oppression, in some laws they think that, it's not fair. Some laws they think, why is this? Why is it not this? Why is not this? Why is this? Lots of questions people have, especially in today's time where people are moving towards liberalism and atheism, and people are moving towards these broad mind concepts in which people are going against the deen of Allah and his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we do find these kind of objections. So inshallah azza wa jal, today's focal point will be basically on this, that those people who consider their intellect to be superior or above the laws of Allah and the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what can be said to those people? What does Islam say about such people? What should our role be as Muslimin, as believers, inshallah? So it is something very important, a beautiful topic which we will be discussing today, and I feel it is relevant to everybody. So please be with us, inshallah, attentively with me. I have wonderful guest once again, Mulana Asim Madani Sahab. Mulana Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Mulana Sahab?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal.
Alhamdulillah, mashallah. Mulana Sahab is with us very beautifully. In the previous episodes, many of you must have witnessed Mulana Sahab explaining some beautiful words to all of us, inshallah. So today, once again, we will be taking some beautiful lessons from him. As I mentioned, it is a very important topic. Be with us, inshallah, for the entire discussion. The more good intentions you make, the more reward you will attain from the exalted court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make this intention, and inshallah, I will be in this episode with us, inshallah, from the beginning till the end, inshallah. Before we begin our discussion, we'll take a short break, listen to a beautiful kalam, and as soon as we return, we will begin our wonderful discussion. Do not go anywhere. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
It is narrated from Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whosoever recites salat upon me once, Allah Almighty bestows 10 mercies upon him.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Aankhon ka tara naam Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam Muhammad. Aankhon ka tara naam Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam Muhammad. محمد
صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على محمد.
The most beloved to me is the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Light of my dark heart is the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Puchega maula laya hai kya kya, puchega maula laya hai kya kya, main ye kahunga naam Muhammad dil ka ujala, naam Muhammad
sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu ala Muhammad.
When Allah will ask, what have you brought, I will then say the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Daulat jo chaho dono jahan ki, daulat jo chaho dono jahan ki, kar lo wazifa naam-e Muhammad dil ka ujala, naam-e Muhammad
sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu ala Muhammad.
If you desire the wealth of both worlds, keep mentioning the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Rakho lahad mein jis dam aziz ho, rakho lahad mein jis dam aziz ho, mujhko sunana naam-e Muhammad dil ka ujala, naam-e Muhammad
sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu ala Muhammad.
O my dear ones, when you lay me to rest in my grave, do remember to mention the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Apne raza ke qurban jao, murshid piya ke qurban jao, jisne sikhaya naam-e Muhammad dil ka ujala, naam-e Muhammad
sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu ala Muhammad.
May I sacrifice my life for Raza, who taught the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Habibi ya Rasulullah. MashaAllah, marhaba, welcome back. Very beautiful kalam. Subhanallah, aankho ka tara, naam-e Muhammad dil ka ujala, naam-e Muhammad, daulat jo chaho dono jahan ki, kar lo wazifa naam-e Muhammad. Subhanallah, very beautiful kalam. And indeed, this is Fezane Ala Hazrat, the blessings of the Ala Hazrat that he has instilled in our hearts. In fact, not only him, his family members, his khulafa, his brothers, his children, alhamdulillah, he has instilled in this ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the love of the zaat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And just for this favor, we are always indebted to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat and his beautiful family, that no matter how much we thank Allah Ta'ala for granting us these wonderful personalities, it will always be less, because undoubtedly they have taken us out from the darkness of kufr and disbelief and placed us into the light of guidance, which we are discussing today. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah, without any further delay, quickly we will move towards our discussion. As I mentioned before the break, a brief summary, or basically a brief description of what we will be discussing, is where people try to use their intellect, their ideologies, their mentalities, and somehow they try to they want to defame the ahkam, the laws of Islam, and consider the laws and the ahkam of Islam as inferior, and somehow call it oppression and all zulm or this or that, and say rights are not equal, whatever the case is. And this is all based on open-mindedness and on the Western world and on freedom and rights and human rights and all these kinds of things. But inshallah azawajal, we will be discussing this wonderful topic today. And to begin today's discussion, I would like to pose a question to our guest today, Mulana Asim Madani sahab. Mulana sahab, we are in a time of fitna and fasad, a time of commotion, a time of misery, a time of lots of turmoil, a time where unfortunately people have left the teachings of religion, of the deen of Islam. And not only that, people have now, ma'adallah, even denying, have went to the extent of denying religion, denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, denying the prophets, and all these kind of things. And one of these side effects of that denial is this which we are discussing today, where unfortunately our Muslim folks, okay, leave the disbelievers, we find the Muslim men and women who have these broad minds and the open minds, and under the label of human rights and freedom of speech and all these kind of things, people then say that unfortunately Islam is very narrow-minded, ma'adallah, or they say Islam is old-fashioned because we are in a new time, new naya daur hai, naya zamana hai, so it is a time where we need to think openly, women and men must be equal, Islam has some laws where some rights are not fulfilled, someone is being oppressed, and these kind of things. In simple words, what advice would you have for these people?
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This topic is very vast, Hafiz Sahab, and this is the problem of today's youth.
Yeah.
They try to understand the religion Islam through their intellect and logic. But Islam does not depend on logics and intellect.
Right.
If anything comes in our akal, that's fine. That is, we are grateful to Almighty Allah. We pay shukr to Almighty Allah for that. But if we don't understand something, so that is the fault of our akal and intellect. That is not the fault of Islam. Whether we understand or we don't understand, we will have to follow the ahkamat of Islam, rulings of Islam, rulings of Sharia, farameen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without any doubt. The meaning of Muslim is that to believe or to accept each and every command of Almighty Allah, each and every command of Rasul of Almighty Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without any doubt.
Yeah.
That is the meaning of Islam. That is the meaning of being Muslim. So if a person says that if I understand, then I will accept. If I understand, then I will believe. So it means his belief is not true. His belief is not strong.
Yeah.
Because his belief is based on understanding, on akal and logic. If it comes in logic, then it's fine. If it doesn't come in his akal and intellect, then he is not okay with that. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam brought the message of Almighty Allah to us. We need to understand few things. One is this, that there are three sources of knowing something or getting the knowledge of something.
Hmm.
One is through senses, through seeing, through hearing. For example, if I see that the sky is over my head and earth is under my feet, I don't need to use my akal.
Right.
I will understand through my sense of seeing, through the bounty of my eyes.
Mm.
Almighty Allah bless me with the eyes, with the sense of seeing. So I will use my senses and get the knowledge. But there are some other sciences which you cannot understand without using your akal and intellect. For example, if you want to understand mathematics, chemistry, physics, many other sciences, many other ulum, you will have to use your akal, intellect. You will have to go to school. You will have to get guidance from someone to get the knowledge of these things. But the religious matters are such matters which are beyond our akal, beyond our intellect. So those matters which cannot be understood through akal, through senses, to guide us regarding those matters, Almighty Allah sent His messengers. Almighty Allah sent wahi, revelation. Almighty Allah sent messengers to guide us. So when the rulings of Islam are beyond our akal and intellect, when the teachings of Islam, or you can say rulings of Islam, start where the akal ends, how can you measure the rulings of Islam through your akal, which is limited? Through the logic, which is limited. Limited logic cannot understand that. So therefore, we need to understand that Islam does not depend on logic. Yes, there is wisdom behind each and every ruling, behind each and every hukum of Almighty Allah. But do we have that much knowledge or that much akal which can understand that logic? It is not possible.
Right.
So whether we understand or we don't understand, we will have to believe and we will have to accept. We don't have a choice. If a person denies and refuses any ruling of Islam because he does not understand it, that is very dangerous. Sometimes it will lead towards kufr. Because if he denies the zururiyat-e-deen, zururiyat of Islam, those things which are essential and necessary to believe in, he will be out of the fold of Islam. You know, a wise person gave a very beautiful example. He said that example of deen and akal is like the scale of a jeweler. You know, the jeweler's scale is very small. And it is so unique that it can measure grams, grains, in fact, the smallest units, but it cannot measure a mountain.
Right.
If you put a heavy stone on that scale, the scale will break.
Right.
So he says that example of a deen is like a mountain, and example of akal is like that scale. So deen is like a mountain, and if you put that mountain or that heavy stone on that small scale, it will break it. So akal is like that. Akal is that, like that small scale, which cannot measure this big mountain.
Subhanallah.
It cannot measure deen. So for understanding deen, you must have that much akal, which can understand. And we don't have that much ability. I was reading, Hafiz Sahab, that the reason why the 70 people of Bani Israel were destroyed, what was the reason? You know, when Hazrat Musa Kalimullah ala Nabiyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam went on the mountain tour to take Tawrat Sharif, to receive the tablet, Tawrat Sharif. So people behind him started worshipping the calf. When he came back and he came to know that they have started worshipping the calf, so he became very upset with them, and you know, he commanded them to make tawbah in the bargo of Almighty Allah. But the crime was so severe, the sin was so severe, that Almighty Allah said that they must be killed. So because, you know, when Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam commanded them and told them that the only way for your repentance to be accepted in the bargo of Almighty Allah is to kill yourself. They all agreed. They were forgiven. That was their tawbah. You know, for us, you know, we don't need to kill ourselves if we commit any sin. If we are sincere and we apologize in the bargo of Almighty Allah with sincere heart,
right,
our tawbah is accepted in the bargo of Almighty Allah. Anyway, their Toba was accepted after they were killed. Then Almighty Allah commanded Hazrat Musa ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam to select and choose 70 people from Bani Israel and to take them to the Mount Tur so that they can present themselves in the bargah of Almighty Allah and apologize. But when Hazrat Musa ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam took them to Mount Tur, so what did they do? It was the fadl of Almighty Allah, karam of Almighty Allah, that Almighty Allah provided them a chance to apologize in the bargah of Almighty Allah. It was a great chance for them to show gratitude in the bargah of Almighty Allah, to Almighty Allah. But instead of showing gratitude, shukr to Almighty Allah, what did they say? They said, Quran says,
Allah.
وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَىٰ لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّىٰ نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً فَأَخَذَتْكُمُ الصَّاعِقَةُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ. And recall when you said, O Musa, we shall never believe you until we see Allah openly. A thunderbolt therefore overpowered you whilst you were watching. They said to us, the Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, that we will not believe in you until we see Almighty Allah with our own naked eyes. So what happened? You know, lightning struck them and they all died.
Allah.
In a short while, they all died. When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam saw them dead, he requested in the bargah of Almighty Allah, Ya Allah, what answer I'm going to give to Bani Israel after, you know, I go back alone? So bring them to life again. Almighty Allah accepted the dua of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and brought them back to life. Now, we need to understand two things here. One is that, what did they demand? Their demand was didare ilahi. Their demand was to see Almighty Allah. That's fine.
Right.
Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam himself requested in the bargah of Almighty Allah, Rabbi arini. Oh my Allah, I want to see you. Almighty Allah said, Lan tarani, you won't be able to see me, O Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. In fact, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam said in one hadith, Pak, Man ahabba liqa Allah, ahabba Allahu liqa'ahu. One who loves to meet Almighty Allah, Almighty Allah loves to meet him. Demanding the didar of Almighty Allah, is there is nothing wrong with that. That's actually a virtue. Ye shok achha shok hai. Ye khwahish achhi khwahish hai. So didar-e-ilahi ka shok bahut achhi cheez hai. If a person has the desire of didar of Almighty Allah, that's a virtue. And Bani Israel had that desire. They wanted to see Almighty Allah. But we should keep in mind that in dunya, shara'an, seeing Almighty Allah with naked physical eyes while being awake is not possible for anyone.
Right.
Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the only person who was blessed with the didar of Almighty Allah on the night of Mi'raj. Besides Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no one can do that. But if a person has this desire, he can be blessed in the dream. Like, you know, many awliya ikram were blessed with the vision of Almighty Allah in the dream. So what we have understood from this, that having the desire of the didar of Almighty Allah, there is nothing wrong with that.
Right.
And that was the demand. And that was the desire of Bani Israel, 70 people of Bani Israel. So what was wrong there? What was wrong? The thing which was wrong was the manner of their demand.
Right.
They did not trust the Nabi of Almighty Allah. They did not trust the words of the Nabi of Almighty Allah. And they said that we won't believe you unless we see Almighty Allah with our own eyes. So it means believing on the words, believing in the words of the Nabi of Almighty Allah is necessary.
Right.
Whether you understand or you don't understand. And that was the problem of the people of Bani Israel. They wanted to understand it. You know, they wanted to use their logic. Maybe they had a doubt that, you know, Musa always invite us towards the oneness of Almighty Allah. He tells us to believe in the wahdaniyat of Almighty Allah, but we don't know who is Allah. We want to see Him with our own naked eyes. That was their problem. They didn't believe in the words of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And the person who doesn't believe, he can be destroyed. The way
the
people of Bani Israel were destroyed. And if a person, you know, has the same mindset today, he says that I will accept if I understand, and I won't accept if I don't understand, he must be ready for a severe punishment. The way Almighty Allah punished the people of Bani Israel. There are, you will find people, Hafizab, nowadays, they will say that, no, we don't understand some of the rulings of Islam. Why parda is necessary? Why hijab is necessary? Why there are extra restrictions upon the woman? Why sood is, interest is made haram? Why this hukam is given? Why, you know, woman is given half of the share in inheritance as compared to the men? Why, you know, men is given authority over the woman? Why man is allowed to marry four wives, but woman is not allowed to marry four men? Different kinds of questions and doubts, you know, they come with to misguide people. And believe me, you, if you have this kind of mindset, remember this incident of Holy Quran, which I have quoted to you, that people of Bani Israel, they were present with Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam on Kohe Tur, on the Mount Tur. But they insulted the Prophet of Almighty Allah. They wanted to use logic. They wanted to understand through their senses. So Almighty Allah punished them and destroyed them. You know, there was a great sahabi of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Hazrat Abu Ubaid. He once invited Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam for a dinner. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to his house. He slaughtered a sheep, goat, for Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you know, used to like the meat of the forelegs of the goat a lot. So he commanded him to bring the meat of forelegs of the goat. He presented one leg in the bargah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, again after eating that, he said, bring the another foreleg. He brought another one as well. Then Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, bring another one. So Hazrat Abu Ubaid radiyallahu ta'ala said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, goat has only two legs. I mean two forelegs. And I have presented in your bargah, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said respectfully, I have presented in your bargah, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that if you had remained silent, and if I would continued asking, you would continued giving me, it was not going to finish until I would have said stop.
Allah,
subhanallah. Abu Ubaid radiallahu ta'ala, who also knew that a goat has only two forelegs. Why Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him this? And how Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught him and gave him a beautiful training and told him that you must not just believe on what you see. When it comes in front of the saying of Prophet of Almighty Allah, then you must prioritize the Prophet's saying, prioritize the saying of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Aankh galat dekh sakti hai. You know, aankh khata kar sakti hai. But Nabi-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ka farman galat nahi ho sakta. Our eyes can do mistake. Our senses can do mistake. Thousands of times we can do mistake. Our eyes can do mistake in recognizing, in seeing something. But the farman, the saying of our beloved Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can never be false, can never be wrong. Therefore, without any doubt, without any logic, we should say labbaik. And we should accept each and every farman of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. If we understand the logic, that's fine. And if we don't understand, still we should not deny something or we should not refuse something because we don't understand. Our logic is limited. Our akal is limited. And Religious matters are unlimited, which cannot come in a limited logic.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Beautiful explanation, Munawwar Sahib. Wonderful. I think that answers many questions which rises in the minds of people. And Munawwar Sahib has very clearly mentioned, once you have accepted, once you have become the slave of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then there is no why, there is no ifs, there is no buts, there is no whats, there is nothing. The only thing you have to focus on is sami'na wa ata'na, that we listen and we obey the sayings of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is Islam, that is submission, that is complete submission, in which you submit your will, your life and everything in front of the hukum of Allah and the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll quickly take a short break and listen to a few beautiful Madani pearls, and as soon as we return, we will carry on our discussion. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
It is primarily the duty and responsibility of the mother and father to train and to nurture the children, to strengthen the foundations. And what are the foundations? Islamic values, Islamic teachings. Before outside influences start influencing your child, you do the influencing first. There are more or less four ideal times to influence the mind of a child. A child is vulnerable and can be influenced very quickly, very easily. So who's doing the influencing? Either the parent who truly loves and cares for the child, or some other person who may tell them that I love you, but doesn't mean it. When last did you tell your child that I love you? Tell them every day, every second day, but tell them just to reaffirm it in their minds and in their hearts, because they are very impressionable. Somebody can just bluff them with false words and they would believe it. Four times that are ideal to influence the mind of your child are when they are eating, when they are sleeping or about to sleep, when they are traveling with you, and when they are sick. Try it out. Try it out and you'll be amazed. All we have to do is plant those little seeds of Islamic values and teachings in their hearts, in their minds. Don't give them a whole bayan, a whole talk, in a very simple way according to their understanding. Plant those little seeds and along the way water it, so that inshallah azza wa jalla, one day as they grow up, they will grow up with this foundation of Islamic values and teachings as well. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Very beautifully we were discussing the topic prior to the break, with regards to people want to use the intellect, their knowledge, their logic, in front of the laws and the ahkam of deen. This doesn't mean that, and before I come to this, Munasa very clearly mentioned before the break that it is not your duty to know everything, because a perfect thing which Munasa mentioned, that your understanding is limited and you can never understand the in-depth explanations and the wisdoms behind Islam. Let me give you a typical example which everyone can understand. Let's go 200 years back, two centuries ago, and ask any person 2 centuries ago, ask a person that is possible to speak to someone who is 1,000 kilometers away from here. The person will say, are you crazy? It's impossible. And even if we have to speak to someone, we'll send a letter. And via that letter, the letter will reach him. And, you know, maybe after 4 or 5 months, it will reach him and it will come back to us. After 1 year, we'll get an answer from him. And, you know, if at that time it's told to someone that, is it possible that you can see that person whilst you are sitting at your house? He will say, no, it is impossible. All right. And now come 2 centuries later, in today's time, it is not impossible. While sitting here, I can make a video call, or I can call someone, and someone living 10,000 kilometers away, I can see him. He can see me. I can see where he is. I can see everything around him. So 200 years ago, it wasn't in the mind of people because people's minds were limited. They thought it's not possible, it cannot happen. But now after 200 years, when they are seeing it, and if someone sees all of this, then he will be amazed that, you know, how is this possible? And there was a time where I was thinking it is not possible. And now I have no option but to accept because I have seen it. Without any similarity, any example, that is basically how the ahkam, the laws, the teachings of Islam is. Many a times there will be a time where you cannot understand anything. But you not understanding doesn't mean that that specific thing is imperfect or it is not complete or there is no wisdom behind it. Yes, there must be a problem in your understanding. But eventually there will come a time where you will see everything, where you will understand everything. We didn't see Jannah, we didn't see Jahannam, we didn't see the angels. But when we will see it on the day of Qiyamah, then we will automatically understand and everything will come back to our minds that this is exactly what the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was telling us about. And that brings me back to the beginning where I left off and I said that you not having the knowledge about something or you not understanding something doesn't mean that that specific action doesn't have any wisdom behind it. When I posed a few questions that, you know, a woman is given half of the entire inheritance, men can marry 4 times, you know, and these few questions here, right? And after that, Munasab said, you do not have the right to question or to ask. So someone might think that maybe Islam doesn't have the answer to these questions. But that's not the case. There are two different things you must look at. One is you questioning, right, that this specific thing is not supposed to happen, right, or this is not appropriate. And number two is that thing not having a wisdom or a reason behind it. And that's not the case. As Munasab mentioned, every single aspect and detail in Islam has 1,000 wisdoms behind it. But here we're not sitting to discuss those wisdoms. We're not discussing why can a man marry 4 times. We're not discussing why a woman gets half of the inheritance. The topic for today was that your duty is not to question. What are the reasons? What are the wisdoms behind it? That inshallah we'll discuss in the coming episodes. But as a Muslim, your duty is not to go in the depth of everything. Your duty is, as I mentioned, Sami'ana wa ata'ana, that we heard, we listened to the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we heard the Holy Quran, we heard the commandments of Allah. Our duty is we have to obey. And besides that, we do not have any option. If you are thinking that you have any sideway or you have any shortcut, there is no shortcut. Islam means to submit yourself. Once you have accepted Islam, you have accepted that submission, then your duty is to submit yourself, and whatever is coming in your understanding, that's fine. Whatever is beyond your understanding, it is not your duty to go into that. Your duty is to be a proper Muslim and submit to the word of Allah and the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unfortunately, we have reached the conclusion of today's discussion. As I mentioned to the viewers, that inshallah in next week episode, we will try and discuss some maybe reasons behind the various questions which you just posed to the viewers, some interesting reasons. I'm sure there must be behind everything, inshallah. Jazakallah Munasab for your wonderful time, for your beneficial and valuable points which you have given to us. We make dua. May Allah Ta'ala grant you abundance of barakah in your ilm, in your amal, so you may continue teaching us, so we may continue benefiting from you. This brings us towards the end of today's silsila. Remember, instill the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in your heart, in your mind. This love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the base of your iman, the base of everything. You have this love, by Allah, you have everything. You lose this love, by Allah, you lose everything. We hope to see you, inshallah, next week. Till then, be positive, think positive, stay positive, remain positive. Keep all of us in your du'as. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
The light of guidance, the light of guidance, the light of guidance, the light of guidance, the light of guidance.